All right, let's take our Bibles, open up to the book of 2 Peter, the second chapter, 2 Peter chapter 2. If you've ever read through 1 and 2 Peter, it's an amazing thing how the world looks at those two books. Years ago, decades ago, they look at it as the world's best literature. Isn't that amazing? The things you're going to read are part of the world's best literature by secular standards. By spiritual standards, all of the book is the world's best literature. Always has been. All right, I'm going to start here in the middle of something. I like forcing myself into these kind of situations. I was dealing with somebody after church today, and they were saying something to me about something they had done and had to do with praying to the Lord to save them. And I don't take that for granted. And I said, well, did he? And the person looked kind of stunned. And yes. So, well, how do you know? Because look, we're dealing with eternity here. And because people have the right words doesn't mean anything anymore. And so you have to challenge that. And I don't do that to be mean. I do that because I want them to know that they know what they've done. So that's why I'm jumping in the middle of this, because that's just what I want to do. All right, verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her own wallowing in the mire. Father, we pray that you might bless the reading of your word to our spiritual understanding. We know that that can only happen as we are saved people, because this is a spiritually discerned book. The message is to we who are saved, but the application, of course, to anybody who might be in our midst that is lost in their sin, undone, incomplete, on their way to a Christless eternity. May they see their need, their great need, their urgent need to come to Christ and receive him by faith as their Savior. Speak to our hearts, and may we be very kind, but direct, blunt, bold, and loving, so that no one can mistake where we're going and the motive behind that. This has been put into your word for a definite reason. And many times these are chapters that are skipped over. They deal with the last days, that's true, but we're in the last days. And so we need to be aware of what's taking place. I pray that you just give me the words to say under the control of the Holy Spirit, that I might not say anything that I shouldn't, and that I would say something that in my mind I'd want to not say. So speak to our hearts. May you have your way, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, it's the 1980s. Some of you are familiar with the 1980s. Some of you are not. And there's a televangelist by the name of Peter Popoff. He's rising to prominence in the United States, and on his TV program, or plural programs, he would specify a specific illness that somebody has contracted in the audience. And he would make sure that he says, I don't know who this is. I've never spoken to any one of you, but I know you have this particular disease. And he claimed that this action was possible through the divine revelation from God. And if he was ever questioned, then he would always repeat, this is possible because of a divine revelation from God. So, before I go on, when exactly, or let's say close to, did our Bible find its completeness? Approximately 96 to 100 AD. After that, the revelation of God was complete. Yes. All right? There is no new revelation. None. Absolutely none. No matter what people say, how they say it, in whatever way they say it. You need to consider that any time you get caught off guard. If somebody is going to speak like that, make sure you know, no, wait a minute. That's wrong. Pat Robertson, when he was big in the 700 Club, wrote a book. Forgot the name of it. But in the book, he claimed that God gave him a word of knowledge. And in that word of knowledge was a new revelation from God. That Pat Robertson would be, in fact, the head of the kingdom. Not David, not Christ, but Pat Robertson. All right? That is no different than what was taking place with Peter Popoff. That is a lie. That's all there is to it. All right, so back to Popoff. 1986, two men, James Randi and Steve Shaw, decided to go undercover and try to expose and prove that whatever Popoff was doing was a scam. And so the one man, Randi, James Randi, had an associate that he dressed up as a woman. Ironic, isn't it? Now we have people that just do that normally. And sent her to the meeting. And her was supposed to have a terminal illness. And Popoff called it out. He called out, there's someone in our audience that has uterine cancer. And God wants to heal you. Come on up here. And I know God is healing you. And he supposedly healed this woman, who was really a man, on the spot. All right, then these two men found out that Popoff was using a crude wireless transmitter by our standards of today in his ear. And the staff, the way this worked is that the staff, when you came in, would give you a card and you would write down your name. And if there's anything that you wanted Popoff to pray for you about, and they would list these illnesses. And so this man, woman, put down uterine cancer. And so how did he know that? Well, the cards were given to his wife, and the wife selected which ones made for the best drama on TV and the better healing. So all of that came out. In May of 1986, James Randi appeared on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson and showed one of the videos taken during one of Popoff's performances. After that video was shown, his viewer ratings and his donations tanked. I mean, tanked, when it was proven that this man was a fraud. This man was a false teacher. This man was so corrupt, there was nothing in him that was true. By September of 1987, so less than a year and a half, he declared bankruptcy to enlisted 791 unpaid creditors. I thought about that. I was thinking about that. 791. I don't think I've had 791 creditors in my entire life. And he couldn't pay them, and he wouldn't pay them, so he declared bankruptcy. All right, this is but one example of many false teachers that have been exposed through history. Who was the first false prophet or false teacher? Satan, the serpent. That's easy. Thou shalt not surely die. God didn't say this, you know. This is what false prophets, false teachers do. All right, but how often haven't you seen a quote-unquote pastor or quote-unquote religious figure caught in some kind of scandal? They appear to have everything going for them. If you know their history, if you know anything about them, they have huge crowds in massive auditoriums or stadiums. They have TV exposures, tens of thousands of followers, listeners, innumerable radio listeners. Today they have websites, they have podcasts, anything available electronically. They have books that always seem to become bestsellers, and they travel around the country doing conferences, conventions, interviews on television, and of course special events. And then suddenly, out of nowhere it seems, there's a video. Or there is a police report. Or an article appears in one of the true trash papers that you see at the checkout line to the grocery store, exposing them in an assortment or variety of financial or physical immorality. Now, don't get me wrong, not all of those are false teachers. Some are genuine believers who have fallen into sin and failed the Lord. So it's up to you and me to discern the difference there. And many times we can't, so I have to be very careful. But in many instances, we're dealing with wolves. And we're dealing with wolves that are dressed up like sheep. And we know what the wolf that dresses up like a sheep wants to do. Is no different than the lion in 1 Peter 5:8, and that's to devour the righteous. So we see what's happening, and we conclude, how do they get away with all this? How does the Lord not deal with them? Benny Hinn wrote a heretical book on the Holy Spirit. And even Thomas Nelson, who publishes most anything, said, we can't publish this. So he went through, and all the places that were redlined, that were heresy, he took them out. And then he delivered the book. The book was taken, and the book sold and sold and sold. And yet it didn't portray the true heart of the man and his attack on the person of the Holy Spirit. In Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31, and I'll read this to you, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. Now think of that. You got the false, you got the overbearing, the enslavers, and the believers, the people, of course, it's Jewish, the Jews love to have it that way. I'll watch it every now and then, some of these people and how they work and how they operate. And I make fun, and you have to understand my sarcasm, and there are a bunch of bobbleheads in there. And they're shaking their head like this, and I'm thinking, yep. Some of these people have to be saved, and they love the false teaching. They love the overbearance of what's taking place. They just love it. I don't get that. But you and I have to understand that their actions, when I say, how do they get away with this? They don't go unnoticed by God. And one day, they will meet their end, and it will not be pretty. Now, earlier in the chapter, since there's great detail as to the reality of the actions of these false teachers. Look at verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people. Where is he talking that? Old Testament? even as there shall be false teachers among you. Peter had it right way back in, 90, 92, 68 AD, that the prophets are go off the scene, and then you have teachers and pastors and evangelists. And he was smarter than most people today. There are churches today, they call the people in there the prophets, the most holy prophet of this or prophet that. There are no prophets today. We have teachers, just like Peter wrote. All right? Even as there shall be false teachers among you. All right? So they teach false doctrine. And they dress it up to appear to be true doctrine. They are clever enough, eloquent enough, smooth enough to take that which is false and make it appear to be true to you. Now, for me, I can't do that. I can't understand how anybody could do that, but I don't know the motive behind what's happening here with these false teachers, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. All right, one of them happens to be Benny Hinn. I'm not pointing him out as opposed to others, but I just know his heresies are well known. Even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So you have the false teachers teaching false doctrine, dressed up to appear true. They deny the truth about Christ, either his deity, either his humanity, or either his work, or all of them. Then we get down to verse 10. Oh, look at verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Many people are going to fall for this. It's an amazing thing. How many people will not only fall for it, but they will defend them against the truth. And say, you don't know what you're talking about. You just don't like that individual. It has nothing to do with whether I like somebody or I don't like somebody. What does the Word of God say? And that's what we go by. In verses 10 and then verse 14, we'll read both of those and then I'll just give you a quick summary. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practice, cursed children. Lives filled. Now, when we talk about the filling of the Spirit, do we talk about half a cup? A quarter of a cup? Three quarters of a cup? Whereas filled to the top. All right? These are people whose lives are filled to the top with immorality, physical and spiritual. They despise authority. I think especially God, as it is found in the Word of God. Especially God. I think that's one of the reasons that we've got so many versions on the scene. They despise what the Word of God says, and so they're going to manufacture another meaning from the very Word of God itself. They're arrogant. They're rebellious. They take advantage of the gullible, the weak, and the untaught. All right. So if you're not taught, you're a prized possession in their sight. If you're a weak Christian, same thing. And if you're gullible to whatever comes down the road, they've got their sights on you. They are after you. They are successful and deceive many, far too many, far, far too many. And so Peter speaks of the coming judgment. I'm just going to give you the verses here in verse 3, in verse 9, in verse 12, in verse 13, and in verse 17. Now, God has never tolerated false prophets, nor will he tolerate false teachers. I want you to hold your place here and then go back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. Deuteronomy, chapter 18. This is dealing with the prophets. Sometimes I come to the place in my Christian life where I'd like to see some of the selective Old Testament passages enforced. But we can't do that. All right, verse 20. Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Now, the Lord is telling this to Moses, to the people. You are not to not only listen to these people, but you're to get rid of them. Put them out of your sight. All right, Jeremiah chapter 23 is the other place. I don't want to spend too much time in this aspect of it, but Jeremiah chapter 23. 23rd chapter is a phenomenal chapter against false prophets and for the true prophets. I recommend that you read it through slowly and see where it leads you. In verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. All right, skip over to 25. I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbors. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, and saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. All right, so what prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, does the false prophet give to you? None. What prophet does the false teacher bring to you? None. All right, now the context here that we're reading, when I picked up in verse 18, and you see they, their, them, is speaking of the false prophets. The context is false prophets. I think we can make an application later on. But the context is these are people that are out there today. They've been out there today. They're going to be out there tomorrow. There's going to be more of them tomorrow than there are today. Because my people love to have it so. All right, verse 20. I want to talk about how they rise. While they promise them liberty, for after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. The first part of the verse I'm interested in, and it talks about some of them seem to have found religion. Some of them seem to have found God. They learn of Christ on the outside and therefore appear to have escaped the defilements and pollutions of this world, but not the corruption of sin. There's no mention of sin here. They are reformed, but they're not transformed. While true believers are transformed, not reformed. The false appear to be clean on the outside. Listen, there's a reason that I do what I do and how I appear. But it has nothing to do that there's nothing on the inside. It's a result of what's on the inside. But a wolf is not a sheep. And so what it has to do is it has to appear to be something different than it really is. And so they will dress the part. They will look the part. They will act the part. We who are saved are clean on the inside. And if we're clean on the inside, that has a bearing on what we do on the outside. It always has. It always will. Look, countless numbers of people are seeking something else, which can only be found in the truth. And the truth is the Lord Jesus Christ and found here in His book. And so what do? They seek out religion. They seek out Buddhism. You don't even have to be religious to seek out Buddhism. You can be an atheist and be a Buddhist. They seek out Zoroastrianism and these Eastern religions, Hinduism. They seek out New Age. I mean, these are easy things to gravitate to. They seek out Islam. They seek out Mormonism, Jehovah Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventism, Christian Science, Unity. They seek these out looking for something other than the truth, because the truth is only found in one person. And that person is found in one book. So what do? They all have their books. They all have their writings. Every one of them has something in addition to the Word of God to circumvent the truth of God's Word. Or they've changed the words so drastically that there's no way that you can come away with believing the truth, because they've turned the truth into a lie. And even Christianity, there are people that seek out Christianity. And what I mean by that is that Christianity as an alternative system of religion. But not the Lord Jesus Christ. See, do you think that there could be people like that have come in here over the years? Absolutely. Absolutely. They've sought out the alternate to all these other things, but somehow they still package it as religion. And it's not involved in Christ. It's an intellectual knowledge that people know who He is. They know what He did, but they don't know Him or are known of Him. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Sometimes I've used this with some people who, and when I'm talking to people, there's some people that I question, maybe saved, but they're giving me the right words, and they're saying, you know, I'm saved, I know God. And I've used this verse. Galatians chapter 4, look at verse 9. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God. I said, does God know you? That's a whole different story, isn't it? When we go around and we say, a professing believer, oh yeah, I know I'm saved, and I know God. Well, does He know you? And look what they were doing. How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? These are people that, again, love to have it so. The Judaizers came in. They said, yeah, Paul was right. You are saved by grace through faith as far as he went. But he did not go far enough. You have to be circumcised and you have to keep the ceremonial law. And many of the Galatians fell for that. They fell for that. Well, the saved ones were there. But what about the next generation and the next generation if you're teaching that kind of false teaching? All right. These are people that I'm talking about that have turned over a new leaf, whatever that means. You ever examine some of these phrases, turn over a new leaf? What leaf? Where did they get that from? Or they cleaned up their act? Well, the Christian life is more than one act, isn't it? It's many acts. These are natural men and women. They are sinful, and they cannot be controlled or conquered by being reformed. We went to in graduate school, we went to a Methodist house that we were going there to minister. and it was a alcoholic type issue, and they had many people there, and I think it was only men. And you went there, if you wound up going there, you went for 90 days. And so we had the opportunity to preach to them, and a few of them got saved. And then later we stayed around and asked them, what's the rate of success here? They had, I think at that time, there were 100 men there. That was capacity. What is your rate of success? And he said, at the best, 2%. He said, and many of them, most of them will go out, and then they come right back. 2%, 2 out of 100. Well, these were Methodists that don't believe in giving forth the gospel. They think you can reform sin. How can you reform sin? You can't. You just can't. And wind up with anything substantial spiritually. All right, and I think that though they've cleaned up the false teachers that are mentioned here in 2 Peter, although they've cleaned up, they return back to what they came from. And we'll see that in verse 14 and then verse 22 later on. So that's where they came from. They didn't start out as false teachers. Something happened along the way, and this is where they went, and this is how they continued to go. And we see these things that are going on today, and you think, did the mother or the father sit them on their lap when they were toddlers and say, this is what I want you to be. I want you to grow up and scam people. I want you to take everything that they have and use it for yourself. No. But if you let a person's heart just go and there's no spirituality in there, then it's going to go just a natural direction. You have to be fed the truth, and the truth has to be ingrained in you over and over and over again. And still you're susceptible because you still have an old nature. And the old nature, you know, deception has gotten much cleverer than it was in Popoff's day. So this is how they rise. All right, this is how they fall. Verse 20, again, the second part of the verse. They are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. The last state worse than the first. All right, these are people that never experienced salvation. They never had the indwelling Holy Spirit. They never had the new nature. Scripture was never in them to control them. They knew about Scripture. When I was lost, I can remember a Sunday school class, and we would read Scripture. I could read with them and didn't know a word of what I said. And neither did any of the other kids that were in there, because there was no gospel. There was no salvation. It was just religion. And religion was based on some form of Christ and most form of doing and doing and doing to hopefully get to heaven, but never really knowing for sure. Verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after that they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. The more evidence that you have of Christ's reality and way of salvation and the Christian life, the more severe the judgment for not repenting toward God and trusting Christ as Savior. Speaking about them, I think we can make an application to us and anybody. The more and more, in our country, there is more known about the truth than not known. Now, of course, we're getting to a place where less and less of that is taking place. But there's more, and people know. Let's say a person comes here and has been coming here for the last 26 plus years and never saved. Do you think they might be held accountable for the truths that have been given here in their judgment if they die lost? Absolutely. He said, well, you're telling to tell people to stay away. No, I'm not. I'm just giving you the information here so that you know. Believers are sealed by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Believers don't give up our salvation or lose our salvation. There's a lady here that sent a book to me. She didn't believe in eternal security. And she went out one day, mad as a hornet. And if you were here, you probably heard her. And she stood out there right at the door and said, I hate that doctrine of eternal security. And since there were so many people, I wasn't going to get into an argument with her. But I called her up. And I talked to her for about 3 or 4 hours. And I knew where she was coming from. And they kept coming and coming. And then she left. And I got a book in the mail about that thick on conditional security. Conditional. Well, that's not security. We're secure in this building. Conditionally. So anybody could drive up and do whatever they want. Anybody could trip over the edge here, depending on what your state of mind could be, and go bonkers, right? All right. But in Christ, I'm secure. Amen. Nobody can do it. They can take my life, but they can't take me, because I'll be with the Lord. There's a vast difference there. But many have walked an aisle. They have said a prayer, and oftentimes a very quick prayer, and even been baptized, but have never received Christ by faith alone. Never. You ask me, why would you say what you said today to that individual? This is why. Because I want you to know what you say you have and why you say you have it. Because if you don't know, how do you know you have it? Romans 11:6, one of the greatest verses, and if it be of grace, then it is no work more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You can't mix the two to be saved. And oftentimes people are thinking, all right, I've done this, I've said this, I've gone through the water, and I still am not quite sure. Well, listen, you need to receive Christ by faith. We're saved by grace through faith, our faith in Christ and what He's done. But these are people that have not done that. But they're so smooth the way they say things. And some of these programs, you have to listen a long time to catch it. But you can catch it if you look for it. And then you have to throw out the trash that occurred before, because they're just using you. You can get on, a website. There's a person that doesn't believe that the Christian church propagates baptismal regeneration. I said, why don't you get on their website? Well, it's not on there. It sure is. Unless you're baptized in their church and five other things, you're not saved. Max Licata, Church of Christ, baptismal regeneration. Oh, he doesn't like to refer to it as baptismal regeneration. He wants to smooth it over because he's very popular. And many people have his books. This, again, what we're talking about here. They are so good at what they do. And for me to say something about that person, oh, you are the bottom of the bottom. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you, there are false teachers out there. They're not going to own up to what they believe, because what they believe is false. And so they teach false teaching as though it's true. If you believe the truth, why are you quiet about it? And if you believe an error, keep quiet about it. If I've got something that is absolute truth and it gives me salvation and forever, why would I keep quiet about that? But if I don't believe I'm saved, I better keep quiet. Because I could persuade somebody else to doubt their salvation. I'm not in the business of causing doubting to salvation. I'm in the business of having people know beyond any question that you're saved. And unless a person has received Christ by faith as their Savior, they're not saved. Right? About 5 months ago, Linda and I have had dogs all of our marriage. The German Shepherds, we've had Border Collie, we've had, I don't know. Anyway, we got a lab lately. And so the lab was 16 months old. It was a little bit trained, not completely. But let's say I get the dog, and since it's a young dog under two, probably regarded as a puppy, and I train the dog. I train him not to go to the bathroom in the house, her, and I teach her to sit. I teach her to give me her paw. I teach her to roll over. I teach her to play dead, lay down, to stay. I teach her to go after people that I don't like. And there's certain commands you can do that with, and so forth. And no matter how thorough the training, no matter how involved it gets, in the end, my dog is still a dog. It will always be a dog. It'll never be anything but a dog. It may be very close to me or very far removed from me, but it's still a dog. It still has the nature of a dog. And given the opportunity, it will go and eat its own vomit. You see that down here in verse 22. But as it has happened unto them, the false teachers, according to the true proverb. The true proverb is found in Proverbs 26:11. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, what makes them do that? It's their nature. They go back to where the very thing they took in. You can get a pig. You can clean it up. You can perfume it. You can put a bow tie on it. You can do whatever you want, and then turn them loose. And it'll go right back into the mire. Why? It's his nature. He doesn't like perfume. He doesn't like being clean. They just like what their nature is to do. All right. The same thing with a lost sinner. You clean them up. This is why I detest the social gospel. You clean him up. You build him houses. You supply this and you supply this for them. You put them in better clothes than they have, and possibly even in a suit or a dress if it's a woman. You give them a Bible. You give them the Word of God. You even get to stand behind a pulpit. A person may have changed his looks, he may have changed his actions, but without Christ, he's still lost. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about the demonic entities turning the victims that they are indwelling into angels of light, when in fact that they're horrific. But they don't give you that. They give the illusion that they're speaking forth the truth. Listen, this is the same for all of us. There are people that on their own have stopped watching pornography. There are people who on their own have stopped profanity. Although most people, if they're honest enough, they will say, I don't know why I'm doing this. Well, you know why you're doing it, because that's all you are. There are people that avoid going to certain places and doing certain things. Some of that has to do with the conscience. It could be a training. It could be the group that you're associated with. In advertising, it's called the bandwagon approach, because somebody that you know that's popular is doing this will hop on the bandwagon and be part of them. This is a psychology. This isn't scripture. You can quote the Bible. I knew some verses before I was saved, not many. And you know what? None of that really saves us. And if we're not saved, we're lost. and we remain in the flesh. We look around. The false teachers are abounding. They're spreading. For how long? Until judgment comes. And judgment is coming. And their latter end will be worse than their beginning. Go with me to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Doesn't use these words as such. It uses some of them, but this teaches this very thing. Now you may think of Judas Iscariot as just the treasurer. But remember, he was one of the ones that was sent out. And they preached. And they taught. And most times, rarely do I ever hear that Judas was a false teacher. But he was. Look at verse 21. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him. And they're talking about, he's talking about in verse 18, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. The Son of Man indeed goeth, that is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. He had all the knowledge. He had been with Christ for 3.5 years, day and night. He looked and played the part well. But there was nothing inside. Nothing. And he fooled all the other disciples. Fooled them all. Except Jesus Christ. And you know his end. All right. I'm going to go back to Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31. You don't need to turn there. I'll read it again. The prophets prophesy falsely. That's the vast majority of them in Israel. When we talk about teachers, that's the vast majority of them now and today. The priests bear rule by their means. They continue to enslave. Religion, as used in the Latin, means to bind oneself back to God. How do you do that? If you read, what was Martin Luther doing when in the monastery? He was climbing the steps on his knees. On his knees. He was working. He was enslaved in what it is that he was involved in. And then it says, and my people love to have it so. But I didn't read it all. And here's the end. And what will ye do in the end thereof? So we have the false prophets, we have the false teachers, we have the systems of religions that enslave, we have the people that love it this way. What are you going to do in the end? You have a choice to make. I am going to go the direction of the truth. I'm going to believe the truth and live the truth. I'm going to expose the error. I'm going to stay away from the error, or I'm going to be part of it. What are you going to do with this truth? Let's pray. As you bow your heads this evening, close your eyes. I would like you to take this time to allow the Lord to examine your heart to see where you are spiritually, because I can't do that. If you do, does he see somebody that knows about Christ? Certain teachings, certain doctrines, or does he see somebody that is his? Are you known of God through faith in Christ? If so, you're one of his children. But if not, you're lost. You can be saved. Christ wants to save you. For we who are saved, let's be very careful to be around people that are very loose with their theology. God spoke to me and said, Well, God speaks through His Word, doesn't He? Yes. And if it's something that comes from His Word, I don't have any problem with that. I have a lot of problem with God spoke to me and said that I am going to reach 9 million souls in my lifetime. No, that's extra biblical revelation. That's a revelation that did not come from God, it came from someone else. And that cannot be digested into your system. It's something that you have to shut off completely. I don't know where you are spiritually in associations, but be very careful here. Because we're talking about life and death situations. In 1 Peter 5:8, remember the devil who appears as a roaring lion goeth about seeking whom he may devour. He's not after other lions. He's after us. He wants us. He wants our children. He wants our parents. He wants our husbands. He wants our wives. And if we're not knowledgeable enough and act on that knowledge practically speaking, we're easy prey. If a lion bounded into this auditorium and hadn't eaten, he would be voracious. And any one of us, no matter who we are, would be easy prey for him. He could carry us off in an instant. But not if you're standing on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ and you're sound in the Word. And you know what you're dealing with. You can resist them through the Word. So whatever the Lord's doing tonight, I just pray that if you want to come and pray, you do so. He may be speaking in another way altogether. But whatever that way is, it's important that we act. And there were two fighting songs today. And we fight. Because there is a battle going on, and I for one do not want to lose it. I don't want you to lose it. I don't want us to lose it. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for exposing the very things, the very people that are out there that are very prosperous, very powerful, very controlling, very smooth, very rich, and very wrong. Help us not to ever come to the place where we think there's any credibility with any of them, because there's not. May you speak to our hearts in this invitation tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name.